We are on chapter 325, 326, chapter 9, and in the top numbers, if you're doing from the top, it's a pei vav, and this is the chapter 9. What the Alter Rebbe does is he's finishing up with the idea of our perception and world, and then asks the question, which he really answers in that in chapter 9, chapter 10, answers how are they both true? Because chapters 1 through 6 talks about God's perspective, that the only thing that exists is God. Mm. Chapters 7, 8, 9 talk about how our perspective is a true existence.
Right.
And then, so how do we do the two together? So that's going to be the
now, now we get seconds. To do the math.
Yeah. Okay, so he said, the last thing that he said is that in our intellect is the highest state of our psyche.
Yes.
And it is...
That leaves me unarmed.
Correct. It's what enlivens the emotions, which enliven the thought, which enliven the speech, which enliven the deed. Again, it's five steps of a state of nullity that the deed has to reach the essence of the soul. So he says in chapter 9, Avol Gavri Kodesh Baruch Hu, when you're talking about Hashem, what we refer to as the top, which is Chachma. You got the place, Dave? Chapter 9?
Yeah, I'm just reading around.
Okay. Then, for Hashem, that's the bottom. It's considered like Maisa Etzloi, like an action. He says this expression is rife throughout Tanya. That for Hashem, that Hashem made a creation, and know this way of effulging godliness and containing it and contracting it. So for Hashem, the beginning point of that is called wisdom, and for that, for Hashem calls that a something that's already called action. So it says kulam b'chachma. See, so you made everything utilizing wisdom.
Yeah.
Tahainu loimer. That means to say shebe erech hachayis shebasiyah gufnis v'gashmis leerech hayis achachma shu reishis amakver hachayis ba'adam v'chol haburoyim gashmim. Long sentences. That means to say that comparably speaking. The godliness, which is in the physical action, compared to the godly or the life, which is in wisdom, which this is the beginning and the source of the life and the person, all creations, physical creations. Shukain legavi achaya shuba oisius hadibur, shukain legavi achaya shuba oisius amakshava, shukain legavi achaya samaila amidus, shemahemnim shachas kamakshava zu, shukain legavi achaya samaila madrega zachach mabina vidas. So every madrega, just to say, just in, to paraphrase, every level of every level below is considered like nothing compared to the level
to
above
the
it.
Level above. Okay.
Action is like nothing to speech. Speech is like nothing to thought. Thought is like nothing to emotion. Emotion is like nothing to intellect. And then with an intellect, das is like nothing to bina. Bina is like nothing to chokhmah. Makar amiz v'kein mamish erech madregus miles achochma shehu reishis amakar hachayis shebecholo oyn los legavi hakadosh baruch hu. So too it is now, chachma compared to Hashem.
Yeah.
That chachma is the source and root of all of the seder istalshus, the whole entire creation process. Mm-hmm. But even though it's the beginning point, it's a seminal point in creation, compared to Hashem, it's like, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? But that doesn't mean, we're not saying that it doesn't exist. That was chapter 4.
Yeah.
Okay? Here in chapter 9, it does exist. But it's totally and completely compared to like an action. Actions are real. Okay? Did you do anything today?
It's going to be
yeah, okay. I'm talking about your boss. Okay. Yeah. You did something today. Was that a real thing that
yes,
you did?
Yes,
it was a real action that you did.
A real action, yes.
Okay. So, okay. So, the So compared to Hashem, this is the creation is nothing. But this is where it gets a little tricky. It's nothing compared to Hashem, mm-hmm. but it's still an action. The action that you did compared to the essence of yourself is like nothing. But you still did something.
Still did it, yeah.
Yeah. The action that Hashem did compared to Hashem is nothing. But it's still Bereshis Bara Elokim. It's like I said, it's a real long sentence, but I just ended it already. Okay, so that it's the incomparability between Hashem and this world is much greater than the incomparability between our action and the essence of our soul, because he says who chomish madregas levad. That to get from the essence of our soul to the action is only 5 steps. Shehem Madregas Bechinas Asiya Dibur Makshava Umidus Asechel. There are those 5 steps: action, speech, thought, emotion, and intellect. So it says it in, I'm not sure if it's Sefer Bahir or one of the earlier Kabbalah books, that says there is a greater incomparability between Hashem and Chachma of Atzilus, wisdom of Atzilus. That what do we know about wisdom of Atzilus? It's merely a potential. It's a kayach ma. It's the power of what? It contains in it the entire Seder Yisalshus, the entire creation process in potential. And therefore it is a vehicle, since it's only just a potential, so it has an infinite potentiality, so therefore it is a conveyor and a vehicle for the infiniteness of Hashem. Mm. So we say that there's a greater level of incomparability between Hashem and Chachma of Atzilus than between Chachma and Atzilus and the physical world. Let me say that again. The relationship between our world and Chachma of Atzilus, the top of the creation spectrum, is much closer related than the top of the creation spectrum and the essence of Hashem. Yeah. If you say it that way, not the way the Sefer Bar says it, it's like, well, obviously now, because even though the way I describe Chachma of Atzilus as being this potential and therefore a conveyor of the infiniteness of Hashem. How much of the infiniteness of Hashem?
Infinite.
The whole infiniteness of Hashem.
Just all of it.
There is a greater comparability between this physical world, which is limited to 3 dimensions, to Chachma Vetzilus, than Chachma Vetzilus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Chachma Vetzilus and this physical world, as far as Hashem is concerned, don't take up anything.
Yeah, they're
it's the same. The example I gave last week with, I think it was Pinchas Reitzis, I'm not sure, who said, or Yehuda Leipler, one of the Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe, that said that you think that, the greatness of the Alter Rebbe, we understand it. He said the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe looks at me like I look at the cat. And it's not, he was pointing to a cat.
Yeah.
Back in Europe, everybody had cats in their house. Because that was the mousetrap of
choice. Because everybody had mice, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So not like nowadays, if you have a cat, you're like icky.
Yeah,
but, you know, it was a necessary thing. Everybody had a cat.
Rats.
Okay. So, the the world of, you can say, Chachma of Atzilus and physical world, you could put them in the same paragraph. Because it's all part of the creation process.
Right,
it's
right,
created
right.
entity.
It is the big, yeah.
Chachma, it's true. It has infinite qualities.
Still created.
It's still a creature.
Right.
And it can relate to us. I was talking about the cat. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and he said, you want to continue.
Right.
To say that, and if you think it goes, the Alter Rebbe, me, and the cat, he said, forget about it. It's Altareba, and me and the cat are on the same level.
It's good. I was going to say Altareba, the cat, and then me.
Yeah, me and the cat are on the same level. Okay, yeah, the cat doesn't. The cat never had a Machshavasara. Yeah,
back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Not
the
now.
Cat, the cat never had a Machshavasara. Never spoke Lashon Hara.
Exactly.
It's only it's only qualitatively from our perspective that there's level. From the high perspective, there is no level. I mean, it's only because we're on a low platform that
correct. We perceive the levels.
Right, yeah.
Are the levels there because of our perception? They're not there because of our perception.
They're there because they're there.
They're there because they are there and we perceive them.
Right.
But they're there for us, they're there because of us.
Right.
Hashem doesn't need levels, you're right. And there's no point of comparability whatsoever between Hashem and Chochmah.
Yeah.
It is the problem that the Arizal had with the paradigm proposed by Moshe Kordovero.
Ramak.
Okay, which we talked about before, previous times, like probably a zillion times. That so because you're talking about a creation and which has limitations and parameters, so there has to be a quantum leap, which is where the Arizal comes in,
right,
which we call the first Tzimtzum. And once you get into this paradigm of Tzimtzum and revelation and lesser revelation, so now you're talking points of incomparability. And indeed, it's not just Chachma of Atzilus is comparable to Hashem. Chachma of Atzilus is the beginning of worlds. There is a whole infinity above Atzilus before you get to the first Tzimtzum.
Yeah.
What's the distance between the first contraction in Chochmah of Atzilus? Just it's an infinity.
That's what this.
Okay? And that, even the first contraction, compared to what's doing before the first contraction, there's no point of comparability whatsoever.
Right.
Because what do you have after the first Tzimtzum? You have revelation.
Right.
You have revealed godliness. You could call it, pardon the expression, user-friendly godliness. Because it is usable.
That's the design.
Correct.
That's the design.
Before Tzimtzum, you don't have revelation. You have essence. There's no revelation. It's not usable godliness. And so therefore, Ak, which is the first, where the label we give, the GPS point that we give for the first step after the first Tzimtzum, the result of the first Tzimtzum, Adam Kadmon, the primordial man, which doesn't mean anything, is created. Mm. What went into it was creator, and there is no way to compare created and creator. We have problems with that because, and you go back to the Aristotelian mode that he negated back in chapter 2. Because when you make something, you're not creating it, you're just pushing it around a bit.
Yeah, you're forming it. You're forming it.
Okay, you're taking stuff
you're
and
forming an existing
you're taking
item.
Stuff and making it stuff.
Yeah.
And we can understand that because we see stuff and we take the stuff and we make it into stuff.
We stuff.
But we don't relate that there's no stuff and turning it into stuff.
Right. That's
Which that is Bachi Kabar is the expression. It's only within the parameters of a creator of a Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Creator, right. Not created.
Correct. So now, but what, even though that is true, we're not talking chapter 4 over here that says we don't exist. We're talking chapter 9, which chapter 9 says we do exist. And how much do we exist? We exist as much as Chochmah of Atzilus does.
Mamish.
But even down by Malchus of Asiyah.
We're in Malchus of Asiyah, Gashmias, all the way, there's no lower, Tachlan Shein, Tachlan Lamata, Amen. Lower than, there's no lower than it. We are still comparable to the highest level in creation, because
it's created.
Because now you could draw a direct line.
Right.
You could, so to speak, say, without going into Pilpulim and say the problems that arise,
yeah,
but you could see there's a connection from Chochmah of Atzilus to Bina to Das, to the motions, to Malchus, from Malchus of Atzilus, right, down to Bria, from Bria to Yetzirah, right, right, Yetzirah right, to Asiya. That's called Seder Histalshelus.
Right, right,
Histalshelus right, means a chain reaction of cause and effect.
Right.
Cause and effect means as you look at the last step, right, and you should be able to somehow forensically conclude what the first step was.
Right.
Not that there was a first step.
No, but what it is.
What the first step is.
Right. Yeah.
So there is a point of comparability between, true, even though we say it's like it's doesn't it, you know,
yeah, so
it's
what?
Still a point of comparability, right, from the top of the creation to the bottom of the creation.
Right.
When you're talking to Creator and Created, there isn't. Now, but we're still talking around it. We're still talking around the idea. We're not hitting the bullseye over here.
Yeah, okay.
Because Hashem made all of this.
Right.
I don't like being dogmatic, but we have a rule that everything in the Torah is 100% true. And it says, Breishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. In the beginning, Hashem created a heaven and the earth. So, unfortunately, our hands are tied, and we can't argue with that. We can't say, no, he didn't.
That's the Gemara in Erevin that said, Beis Hillel was Moedid of Beis Shammah, that would have been...
Which one came first, which came that? That's the point that what they're talking about over there. What they're talking about over there is which came
God
first.
God never created us. That Beis Hillel was Moedid, that would have been better if God never created us, but since we're here, we got to do our best.
I'm not going there. Because we're here.
Exactly. It's a moot point.
The question is are we here or we're not here? And the answer is we are indeed here.
From our perspective, there's no way for us to say, if I were God, there's no way I would have made it.
No, of course not. That goes into chapter 26 way back in the first section of Tanya. You know, if I were, if I could. No, it doesn't, you know, we haven't got a clue what's what.
No.
Absolutely nothing. So, but yes, we do exist because God made us exist.
Exist, right.
Okay? Which is not what we said in chapter 4, because in chapter 4 we said the only, you might see stuff, but really all it is compressed godliness, which means it doesn't exist. Here we're saying the compressed godliness for Hashem is an action. And if we're going to use a paradigm, if we're going to call it in action, because it's a pasuk in the Torah, "Akulam b'chachma asisa," you made everything in with wisdom.
Right.
So the word asisa, you made, is used there.
Yeah.
That means we're not saying, it doesn't say in the Torah "Akulam b'chachma asisa kiviyachol," so to speak.
Right.
Kind of, sorta.
Yeah.
It doesn't say ke asisa, it says asisa.
In fact.
You made it.
Yeah, in fact.
That establishes, that verse says we have an established existence.
Right.
But what, he's going to say in chapter 10, you can't do this existence stuff if God's not going to do it with you or for you. Okay? We're on the bottom line there on that page then now. Let's just four lines up. Avakarish Baruch Hu Ram V'Nisa Madregas Chachma V'Riva Vayis Madregas. Hashem is so far removed from the level of Chachma, infinite, millions of levels above. Yes. Ki'ilu Ad Ein Kates, as though it's infinitely removed from him. But since it is that we can only identify with the level of Chachma,
right,
which that's the beginning of our creation step, Hashafala, this low contract creation,
right.
That's why we call this what is our primary step of wisdom compared to Hashem, we call it action. The Hayna Lomer, meaning to say, Shuhuram Venisa Venala Ailoi Rav Ma'od Ma'od Madregas Achachma. That means to say that Hashem is so far removed from the level of wisdom. V'lo shayach klali yachas etzlo shum inyan amis yachas l'chochma. And you cannot refer anything to Hashem having anything to do with chochma.
Right.
Now, if you just kind of flip over the page to the next page, you notice there's a big note. And that note is like the famous note from the Alter Rebbe. Ooh, the note. There it is again.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're going to get to that note when he talks about it. Because what we're saying now is you can't call Hashem a Chacham. But yet, in chapter, end of chapter 7, chapter 8, we used all of this jargon from the Rambam that Hashem is a Chacham, v'lo b'chachma yediyah, antu chakim. They quoted Elijah, Eliyahu in the Zohar, antu chakim v'lo b'chachma yediyah, you are a sage, but not with a wisdom which is known.
Right.
And here we're saying you can't ascribe any type of wisdom to Hashem at all.
Right.
And in the note, he's going to go and solve this problem like he did way back in chapter 2. And I wish I remembered, I think this is like the sixth time, but I don't remember exactly where they are. The sixth time that the Alter Rebbe quotes this this compromise that he formulated between the Rambam and the Maharal.
Uh-huh.
We'll get to it. V'lo shayach klal yachas es lo shum inyan miyachas l'chachma. Afilu b'derech ma'ila v'ilay rav. Even if you want to compliment Hashem, if Hashem is going to compliment Hashem, says Hashem, you know, good job, you're pretty smart.
You're pretty smart.
You're pretty smart there, Hashem.
Thanks, God. Good job.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Ouch.
Keep up the good work.
Yay, God.
Right. Exactly.
Ouch.
Okay. Wow. It would be less than if, for example, a 2-year-old went to the Disney Playhouse, Opera House, Theater, or whatever in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and saw Mr. Gary standing there, and the 2-year-old said, "Nice building, Mr. Gary." Okay, I mean, you know, what had to go into the processes of making that building. The 2-year hasn't got a clue. He just looks and says, it's nice.
It's neat.
I like this building.
This building. This is neat.
Yes, okay. So we're going to say to Hashem, you know, Hashem, I think you did a crackerjack job on the creation.
Not too bad.
Yes. Give me a G, give me a dash, give me a D. What does it spell? Yay. You know.
Not, oh God.
It doesn't go there. Okay. It doesn't for us to praise Hashem is it doesn't even come to the category of being something secondary or subordinate to for us to say yes a God you got my approval.
Yeah.
Because even though we can say no creature can comprehend Hashem's wisdom. You got all these seraphim and chayas hakodesh and ifanim and malachim and all these other entities that are talked about in Nevuah, and they're screaming back and forth. And what are they screaming? Aye mekam kivayde. Where is the place of his honor? Why are they saying that? Because they don't know.
They don't know.
They want to know.
They want to know. I'd like to know too. I'm not so sure I want to know. They know that there's godliness lurking somewhere around here. And they want to know, where is it already? Why can't they know? Because they can't understand it. They can't fathom it.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah, okay. You and the angels have something in common, huh? Okay. Okay, now, this is one of my favorite lines coming up here in Tanya. Okay. To say, I don't understand something is only an applicable statement is if what you're talking about is something which is understandable.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay? If I just totally and completely make up something right now, just on the top of my head, and it's not based on any logic or anything whatsoever, you would just say, hey, that's stupidity. And that's what it would be, because you wouldn't understand it. But for Hashem, we're thinking it's the exact opposite. She'efshir la'asigo, ayyefshir la'asigo, mifnei oimek ha'musuk. You have a classic example, rocket science.
Mm.
Okay, it's not rocket science.
Mm.
Okay, which means the rocket science must be very hard. Okay, so now somebody's going to take a look, open up a book of basic rocket science, and they're going to say, I don't understand what this is talking about. And then we could say, well, do you want to understand? We could sit, I can talk, I can explain it to you, I give you the basic concepts of jet propulsion and physics and, you know, force and matter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And we could work on it, and hopefully one day,
eventually, sometime,
you will hopefully understand the principles of rocket science.
Right.
Right now you can't. Okay. And then it's very, people are very impressed when they don't understand something. You know, oh, that must be brilliant because I don't understand what it's talking about.
I got to be really impressed with a lot of things.
I think I must have told this story, you know. I don't remember what stories I tell, what stories I don't. But I learned with a group of older individuals, and we learned regularly. One week I said, okay, end of class, and I say, okay, next time we're getting together is on this and this time. And they open up their little calendar books over there and say, oh, we're members of Elder Care. Elder Hostel. Mm-hmm. Okay, which is a national organization, which the JCC or one of the Jewish organizations in the city is a part of. Mm-hmm. And they bring in speakers, lecturers to talk to older people.
Okay.
And so they're bringing in this guy and they all want to hear him. This guy is supposedly some kind of genius. He's going to talk on who knows what. Okay, so I said, fine. So instead of learning it that day, we had time, we learned the next day afterwards. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I came the next day after they had heard this lecture, and I said, so how was so-and-so? I don't remember the guy's name or who he was. So they said, oh, he was brilliant. It was one of the deepest lectures I've ever heard. And I said, okay, what did he talk about? I said, I haven't got a clue. Because that's how I knew it was deep, because I didn't understand one word that the guy said.
Great.
Okay? Okay, that's fine. Good.
Okay.
Avala Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you're saying a concept, you have deeper concepts, lesser concepts. There's a story that goes that when the Alter Rebbe went to Shklov, I believe it was the first time. Yeah, the first time. I'll talk about the second time. He was invited by the Misnagdashe Rabbanan over there to come and present his case for Chassidus. Mm-hmm. Okay, these were people who were very, these were brilliant. These were people who dedicated themselves to Torah and Torah values. And at that point already, they had heard that the Alter Rebbe was a Goyen Adir, was a brilliant orator. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so they asked him to come and give a speech,
right?
Something in the Gemara,
right?
To show that he really knows his stuff.
Right.
Okay, so he gave a whole speech, and in the story where it's written down, it says what the topic was. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what the topic was. Okay, the speech went on for an hour and a half. The end of an hour and a half, so he gets there, he says, he comes down off the bima, and he's entertaining questions, and he hears somebody off in a corner saying to somebody else, he says, yeah, that the Baal Shem Tov was good for a miracle here and there, he was good for a story, but he didn't know how to learn Gemara. Okay? The Alter Rebbe, he went back on the bima, he gave a patch, and he said, this drasha, this pilpul that I just gave, was half of a pilpul that I heard from my teacher, the Mizritcher Magid, who heard it from his teacher, the Baal Shem Tov. This was all according to Rava. The other half of the pilpul, I'll now say how you would learn the Gemara according to Abaya. And he went on for another hour and a half. Okay. One of the people there who was totally completely blown away by this whole thing, became a follower of the Alter Rebbe, I think it was Pinchas Reitzis, I'm not sure, said, the first part of the pilpul, I understood b'derech makif, means that it was kind of like it went over my head.
Yeah.
But at least it was comparable to my head.
But at least it was shaving my hair.
Yeah, it was like right there. I could say, oh, this is something. This is brilliant. I can't really get it, but this is good.
What he was talking about.
This is, yeah. I got an idea what he's talking about.
I know
about.
This is smart because I can tell.
The second half of the pilpul, I had absolutely no clue what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, the second time that he went to Shklov, which I think was a year and a half later. They prepared questions for him to answer. Instead of giving us a pilpul, we are going to give you questions.
Right.
And they sent him a whole peckel of questions.
Right.
And he came to Shklov, and he stood up on the bima, and he said, There's too many questions for me to answer in this space of time which I have been allotted. But I will sing a song and it will take care of your questions. And he sang what's referred to as the Alter Rebbe's Niggun.
Right.
You're familiar with that one? It goes, did it, Dalet Vavas, yeah. He sang that. And then he asked, he turned to the participants and said, does anybody have any questions? And everybody's question had been answered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking, if you're talking about a concept,
today.
Yeah. So if you have a question on something, like a pilpul, a gemara, this or that. So this is a concept, what he says. With Hashem, you can't say, you know what? I don't understand God. And not only that, we don't even know why we can't say, I don't understand God. Because when we talk, the word God becomes the predicate nominative. God did this. Mm-hmm. There's a verb. And there's somebody doing the verb. Okay? There's something causing the action.
Yeah.
So there's a creation. There's a speaking.
Right.
There's a destruction. There's an exodus. Okay? So who's doing all this is God. Okay? So it fits to say, okay, predicate nominative, that's fine. Because predicate nominative means that which is causing the verb to do what it's doing. That's great. Mm. For the most part, predicate nominatives are nouns or pronouns.
Right.
Okay, Hashem for sure is not a pronoun because this is you capitalize God. It's not it refers to him or them or I or whatever. That's
whatever,
a pronoun.
Yeah.
But Hashem is not a noun either because what's the definition of noun?
A person, place, or thing.
Person, place, or thing. Hashem is not a person, place, or thing. So therefore, Hashem is not a noun. So that's why I can't understand. But wait a minute, I'm using Hashem, the word Hashem is a predicate nominative. Hashem is doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And yet Hashem is not a noun. And since Hashem is not a noun, I can't understand it.
Right.
And he's going to say over here that, in like one line, he's going to say, saying I don't understand Hashem is exactly the same as saying I don't know what calculus tastes like. Because calculus is not something that you can put into your mouth. Some people might find learning calculus geschmack, but the word geschmack there, that which is translated as tasty, doesn't mean there with your taste buds inside your mouth.
No.
It means intellectually stimulating,
right,
which is causing his pleasure banks to go off in his brain, and therefore he calls the learning of calculus geschmack. Okay?
Right.
But you can't say, you know, you go to a professor, I'm really trying really hard, but I just don't know what calculus tastes like.
Yes.
The guy's not going to have a clue what you're talking about.
He's
going to laugh at you.
You're a nut.
Like, what are you talking about? Calculus is not a tasteable thing. Hashem is not an understandable entity.
Just add gravy.
Just add water. Because Hashem is not comparable. Person saying, I don't understand Hashem, is saying that I don't understand what this deep sublime concept feels like with my hands. Because it's too deep for me to comprehend. Anybody who hears him say, I don't know what calculus tastes like, everybody can laugh at him.
Right.
Because the whole concept of touching and chepping and tasting only falls on those things, those entities, which happen to be three-dimensional, that you can stick in your hand if you want to feel it and stick in your mouth if you want to taste it. So it is that compared to Hashem, intellect and comprehension is considered like an action, Even the highest levels of intellect, even the very primary level of intellect, which is the first step in the creation, is still compared to wisdom. It's still compared to actions. It says you created everything with wisdom.
Right.
Okay, so now we have a problem. Chapter 8, we quote in Pasuk Eliyahu. That says that Hashem is a sage. Chapter 9, we're coming and saying it's impossible to contribute any sage-like qualities to Hashem. So who's telling the truth?
Yes.
So we say that's always the answer. The fact that we call Hashem wise, and it's all over rife throughout the Torah Shebal Peh that Hashem is called wise, is because we have Chochmah.
Right. It's the only thing we can relate to.
And if we have Chochmah, the Chochmah has to come from someplace.
Right.
Okay? What do we call a person who has Chochmah? We call him a Chochm.
Yeah.
So since it is that everything has to come from Hashem,
right.
So that means that Chochmah has to come from Hashem. So that means Hashem must therefore be a Chochm. But that's why Rabbi Eliyahu says, "Antu chacham v'avoloi b'chacham yediyah."
Yeah.
You are wise,
but not
with intellect that we can know.
Right.
We know that Hashem is wise only because we only know that Hashem is a chacham only because there is such a thing called chachma.
Right.
Those things that we don't know about, we will not ascribe to Hashem. I can't even talk about them because we don't know about them. I'm sure there's tons of things we don't know about. Okay? But all those things that we don't know about also come from Hashem. For sure, those things that we do know about, those come from Hashem. And he says, and he goes on and continues. The base picks up. Everything comes from Hashem, and therefore wisdom comes from Hashem. V'kein, rachum, v'chosid, we call Hashem merciful, we call Him pious, we call Him kind, excuse me. Al shem shuhu makar harachamim v'chassadim. Because Hashem is the source of mercy and kindness. And so Hashem gets to be called kind. Calling Hashem kind is kind of like an insult. Like, hello. And so too it is. Anything else, any other nickname that you're going to find in the Torah, in the 24 books of the Tanakh,
right.
All the things that we refer to Hashem are just referring to specific attributes of Hashem.
Right.
And we can only refer to them to Hashem because we know of their existence in our revealed world.
Yeah.
And it must be that if we can call Hashem, if we have a king, and we have the idea of kingship, it must be that Hashem has kingship.
Right. We only know these things because we can assign these attributes to Him because they exist here.
Correct. And everything comes from Hashem. Right. How this all works? We're not going to it now. This is not the right...
It's not the time and place.
This is not the time and place,
yeah,
to go into how is it that the entire Seder Istalshelus works.
Right.
We're going to leave that over for the successors. And indeed, the Mittler Rebbe goes to town on it, the Tzemach Tzedek, and all the ensuing Rebbes elucidate this point at great length.
Mm.
Fills two-thirds of the Chabad library is basically talking about this. Okay, so now the note. This is the, as we talked about before, V'sayit Simsum Borin Sabaracho V'tsimsum Ak V'sayit Dikna Shisayit Kola Tsimsum Imlitzam Simho Or Shislavish V'china Zakeelam D'yud Sfirois. When you're talking about what a Tsimsum is in the infinite light of Hashem, the Tsimsum of Ak, which is the first manifestation after creation, that's where the we can see a Seder Histalshulus, a whole progression, V'sayit Dikna. That all of this, the Dikna is referring to Keser. We call it Simsumim, Litzamsam, Ha'or, and all these Simsumim, these contractions which contract the Or, that they should all be they should enclose themselves eventually in the 10 spheres, the 10 kelim of the yud spheres of Atzilus. After we have this, all these simsumim and a whole process, and finally this infinite godliness is contained within the sphere, the realm of Chochmah of Atzilus, now you can call Hashem a sage at that point. So if you want to put it in your GPS system, so at Chochmah of Atzilus, we can start calling Hashem sage.
Right.
Okay, until I started teaching you, you couldn't call me your teacher. Duh, right? So before Hashem manifests the word, the level of Chachma, you can't ascribe Hashem as having wisdom.
Correct.
Because there's no such thing before that. But when he is ascribing wisdom, so we'll ascribe wisdom to him.
Right.
Because what happens is that the vessels, the vehicles for conveying this godliness, to limit it to, and it's sealess, it doesn't limit it in quality or quantity,
but in quality.
It limits it to what it is.
Right.
Okay, but that becomes then the soul of the next levels.
Right.
The brilliance here.
To the creation, the formation, and action.
Right.
Their vitality is coming as an expression of the limitations which were created in Atzilus, in the emanation. To everything in him. Aval keli belit simsum v'halbasha hana lo shaklal lemer shuhu yidua v'hu amada. Before creation and contraction, you can't call Hashem knowledge knower and known. Because you cannot limit Hashem to being only knowledge. In case Hashem is infinitely removed from having to be knowledge. So much so is Hashem removed from Chachma, which is higher than Das, that wisdom is considered like an action.
Right.
The basic idea, what is this premise of this note, is that when Hashem wants to be a Chacham, we'll call him a Chacham. Before Hashem wants to become a Chacham, we're not going to call him a Chacham. And before at this point doesn't mean in chronological order. Before at this time means within the creation process, levels of containment. Top of the page, back in the text. V'hine ein lana oisek v'nistarim. He says, you know what? We're not going to understand this. Just to let you know. Okay? The Alter Rebbe says, on my level also I don't understand it. Halavai, my level should be, my level of not understanding something should be like the Alter Rebbe's level of not understanding something.
Yeah, really.
Ach niglas lanu, but what's revealed for us?
Like his cat.
Lehamin amuna shalema, to believe in absolute faith. The iho v'garmehu chad. This is where faith comes in. We talk way back in chapter 1.
Right.
Does our faith entail believing that there is a Hashem? No. That we call knowledge. We know Hashem exists because there is a something. It has to come from something originally. That original something we call Hashem.
It's the chad part that requires faith.
The involvement in our lives, the involvement in the creation that Hashem and the effects, once they've come into existence, and Hashem is still part and parcel with them. I see a table. I don't see Hashem.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me there's a table, but it's made out of a compressed Hashem. So I have to believe that now. That's where my belief comes from. And I'll extend it that much further. That where does my belief lead me to? My belief leads me to that Hashem is involved in every aspect of my life. If Hashem is creating the table constantly, like we talked about before, so that means that Hashem is involved with every aspect of my life. If Hashem is in every aspect of my life, so then I have to have not only emunah, I have to have bitachin, that right this moment is going the best way that it possibly can. You got a problem with that?
No. I don't know that. Well,
you don't even know what you don't know, right?
Really? No, I'm not sure that requires emunah.
Do you see a table? Do you see Hashem?
No, not at all. But the, but I do know. Just like I know that there's a creation.
I can explain everything that you that happened to you today that you want to say is Ashgacha Pratis. I can explain it very simple that it's just a matter of the laws of nature and physics, and you know, and we'll go on. And we'll be on with. We'll be done with it.
All right, I hear you, but we can believe.
You can believe that Hashem is out there. Hashem is infinite. Okay, Hashem is out there. Hashem is not in here. But our Jews' belief in God is that I have a very personal relationship with Hashem.
Yeah.
As they asked Meir of Prema Shlom when he was 10 years old, "Where's Hashem?" And he said, "Wherever you let him in." That means to say all these different levels of Hashem, which are so far removed from the level of Chachma, that Hashem is totally and completely united with them, and all of the levels, the spheres therein. We haven't got a clue how it is one Hashem is one with his emotions either. We don't understand how Hashem is a chacham. We don't understand how Hashem is a chassid either, or a gibor, because these are infinite qualities of Hashem. They are beyond our the spatial comprehension that we have.
Right.
We can't formulate anything about them. That's why the Zohar refers to the 10 spheres that we talk about that get thrown about so much in the Kabbalah. Like, you know, of course, child's play. Kabbalah 101, there are 10 spheres. Chachma bina das, chesed gevura teferes, netzach yesod malchus. There are four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yesia, and Asiya. Ask anybody who's done basic introduction to Kabbalah. Okay, let's like, yeah, that's baby stuff. Yeah, okay, good. This is called Raza de Hemenusa, the secret of belief. Shehi Amuna Shalamaila Minasechel, that's Amuna, which is higher than intellect. And this you need to think about because you cannot explain Amuna to somebody. Amuna has to be something that you come yourself. I give you the tools. I'll give you the tools to climb the ladder.
The quality of achievement.
But to get to the top of that ladder,
you have to walk.
You have to do it.
Yes, step, that's right. Yes.
And it's step by step, that's right, until finally a person comes, the idea coming at peace with this idea. That a person can recognize the relationship that they have with Hashem. Can you prove it? No.
Yeah.
But you can you feel it, you believe that you have this relationship with Hashem. You're seeing the divine providence all over the place. Yeah. And you recognize this is Hashem doing, you know, get out of the way. Hashem's doing miracles for me. To be continued.